All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 1, Solomon says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." Now that's some wisdom from a man that goes clear back to 3,000 years ago. And when the world wants to recognize wisdom and recognize what they call philosophy and lovers of wisdom, they always omit this man. And he's a good 400 years before their heroes that they worship from Athens. But Solomon's your first philosopher, and the reason they won't recognize him is because he recognizes God. Yeah. Brother Justin Manning, would you open in prayer for us? I want to call your attention out of that passage to verse 7, and just part of verse 7. In the middle of verse, he says, "A time to keep silence." You always hear preachers say in the original Greek, in the original Hebrew, that means shut up. No, it means keep silence. It means what it says. And I want to talk to you about keeping silence and three things about keeping silence. I want to show you the importance of silence. I want to show you the sounds of silence. And I want to show you the results of silence. Back when I was a young man, back in 1965, I think it was, Simon and Garfunkel came out with a song. And they called it "The Sounds of Silence." And you still go into Walmart and other places and they still play the stupid thing. And there's nothing to it. There's no sense to it. There's no meaning to it. The song builds a crescendo and it never says anything. The sound of "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again." What's he saying? Nothing. It doesn't give you anything. But the sounds of silence are important. Silence is the absence of noise. And you don't have much of that in your life. It's really lacking in your life. And that's because the devil, the god of this world, knows how to distract you, and he does it with noise. And he does it with constant noise. And that noise is all over the place. Men are afraid of silence. They're scared stiff of it. They're afraid if there wasn't that noise going on, they'd have to think and address some things between them and their God. And men don't want to do that, and the devil gives them an out with all the noise. The Bible equates the noise with tumult and confusion. Look at Psalm 83. Psalm 83 and verse 1. "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head." The enemies make a tumult. Look at Psalm 74. Psalm 74 and verse 22. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. The tumult is all the noise of the nations, and you need to look at your life and see how much noise is in it. You ought to consider it this week and see if there's time that you're putting aside all noise and all tumult and all the confusion that comes with the world. The God of this world doesn't want you stopping and thinking. And so He's putting all that noise in your life, and the nations bring a noise. Look at Isaiah chapter 17. Isaiah chapter 17. In Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind." The multitude of the nations make a noise. Politicians make noise. You know what they are? They're noisemakers. New Year's Eve, they give you these little things and you blow on them and they roll out and they... Every time a politician gets up in the pulpit in D.C., you might as well just listen to... Just making noise. They had nothing to say. Trump, any of them. Just making noise. And you got Christians huddled on their talk radios. What is it? Just noise. Just talk. You say, what are you doing now? Making noise. To make you think. That devil has things. What are you trying to do? Make noise. The Weather Channel. Making noise. Making you worried about things you don't need to be worried about. Amen. And I want to say a few things. We'll get Luke chapter 2. And I want to show you the importance of silence. And God puts a premium on silence, and you know it from the life of Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Speaking of Jesus Christ, and He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In 30 years of Jesus' life, you're only told about one event. He goes into the temple and He's conversing with the rabbis and the doctors there. And the Joseph and Mary lost track of Him and had come back to Jerusalem. They find Him there. And He said, "Don't you know I ought to be about my Father's business?" And then He goes down with them and subjects Himself. For 30 years, He increases in wisdom and stature. Probably the most remarkable thing about the first 30 years of Jesus' life is there's no remarkable thing. It's silent. That is weird when you think about it. I mean, here's God with a plan to save our souls, and His Son only has 33 and a half years to do it. And 90% of it is in silence. 30 years and then 3.5 years. Okay, now go preach. 30 years, no sermon. 30 years, no miracles. 30 years, no gathering people together, teaching them anything, giving them parables. 30 years of silence. Must be important. At least in God's view, it must be important. Luke is the only one that tells us about this event at Jerusalem when he's 12 years old. You know, you think about it, women like roses, and what's it take for a rose to grow? A bush comes out of the ground, takes a few years to grow into a bush big enough, and then it starts putting out these flowers, and they're beautiful flowers, and those soft red petals open up and then wilt in a matter of days. What a useless thing. You cut them off and you bring them to your wife on your anniversary or something, and she says, "Thank you, honey," and then bloop. All that effort just and it's done. And yet the rows are sharing the same thing. 33 and a half years and done. They kill them. The importance of silence. God thinks it's important enough that His Son didn't say anything. And that example alone ought to show you how important silence is. Silence is a powerful thing. Extremely powerful, and the world doesn't know silence. The physical world right now is tectonic plates crashing each other. You go up into the Arctic zone and ice cracks and icebergs break apart and fall into the ocean, and say nothing of man's noise and the warfare and the guns and the cannons going off. The world isn't quiet for a second, and Satan makes sure of it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 10. Paul says, "There are, it may be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification." There's all kinds of voices out there in the world, and all trying to get your attention. And they get it, because all the noise they put forth. And usually the one that makes the most noise is the one that gets your attention. That TV, that computer, just reaching all these voices. The news isn't anything you need to know. I've gone overseas for 2 weeks and come back, and I didn't miss a thing. Didn't hear anything. I mean, I tried it. I don't listen to the news anyway, but I'm going through an airport and you can't help but hear it. Or on the TVs all over the place. But you don't miss anything if you shut it off. I mean, what if you didn't know what's going on with the wall? I mean, hold your breath till it's done. That's how important it is. They're just trying to get your attention. Keep you from thinking. The Weather Channel goes on and says, 300 million people are going to be impacted by the weather. Do you ever think of that statement? That's a lie. 7 billion people are impacted by the weather. Everybody's impacted. What a word, impacted. They put names on snowstorms. Not even storms, snowfalls. When I was a kid, they said, "It's snowing, you're going to go to school today or not," and told us, and didn't put a name on it. Steve or George or Sandy or something. It's a snowfall. Oh, you're impacted by this new storm. No, you're not. You go out and shovel it and go to work. It's not a big deal. They're putting stuff in front of you to stop you from thinking. The Weather Channel, "Did you know it's 46 degrees in Calcutta?" What do I care what the weather is in Calcutta? What is that? Just a voice? Noise? In Lisbon, they're having rain. Well, I'm not going to Lisbon. I don't need to know that. I don't need to hear it. Shut it off. But they don't shut it off, because they'd have to think if they shut it off. Silence is important because it allows you to think. Look at Job chapter 4. And the Lord wants you to think. Job chapter 4 and verse 12. Eliphaz says, "Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof in thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence. And I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker?" It looks like God had to wait till deep sleep falls on a man to get his attention on something that's worth thinking about. Is a man more just than God? Shall he be more pure than his maker? Have you ever thought about that? Not with all that talk radio and that internet in your life. You don't think about facing God. And that's why the devil has that noise in your life. Silence is important. And God uses it or wants to use it in your life to get your attention. Look at verse 18. Behold, he put no trust in his servants and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. Something worth thinking about. Men are scared of silence. That's why you turn something on. Got to have some noise going. Noise so you don't think. Silence is important for your preparation for eternity. A young man says, I'm called to preach. All right, then shut up. Be quiet. Before you ever put something out, you're going to have to take something in. You know how you take something in? By closing your mouth and listening. Listening to God for a while. Silence is going to be your best preparation for the ministry. Silence is your best preparation for eternity. And probably a major reason that most preachers have no ministry when it comes to preaching is because there's no silence of preparation. I had a preacher tell me one time, he puts a message together about 45 minutes before and he just blabs. Just puts out whatever comes to mind. And no one gets to think about anything. And no one comes under conviction about anything. No one sits there and goes out thinking about anything except some funny stories he told and how he wowed them with his personality. You need some preparation, and that takes silence. There's a lack of fruit because there's a lack of preparation. You don't have to always surround yourself with noise. Shut it off. All of it. And go to your God and listen. See what he has to say. There's too much noise, and it's important you keep quiet, speaking without hearing. Always in motion. Silence isn't a suspension of worship. People think, well, if I don't get moving and yelling and having something happen, be quiet. Listen. Put yourself before the throne of God and say, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Samuel says, stand still a while. Let me show you the word of God. It's hard to get someone to stand still. You learn from silence. You'd stop your flapping tongue. The Bible says, let every man be slow to speak and swift to hear. There's an importance to silence. The second thing I want to show you, the sound of silence. Psalm 39. Psalm 39, in verse 9, David says, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. The Lord did something in David's life, and he said, you know what I did? I shut my mouth. I was dumb. That doesn't mean stupid like you use it today. It means he just was quiet. Why? Because you're doing something. You know why Christians miss the hand of God? Because they won't be quiet. God comes right into your life and trying to get your attention and do something, and you got so much noise, you can't even hear it or see it. There's too many other things. One time I was working in a hangar there at the government Navy base, and real long hangar, real huge high ceilings, and I'd pass out some tracts on my lunch break, or I'd sit there sometimes eating a sandwich with my Bible and read it. And I had a guy working with me, and one time I was sitting there at lunch reading my Bible, and he's on the desk next to me, and he slapped his hand down, and he said, I can't stand it. And no one, it was just me and him there. I looked over, and he said, you're always bothering people with that Bible and trying to give those pieces of paper to them. He said, I'm saved, and God didn't tell me to do that. And I said, well, Johnny, God has told you to do that. But the problem is, if I was at the other end of that hangar and I said, Johnny, get me a screwdriver, you wouldn't hear it. You know why? You're too far away. You got too much noise between you and God, and you can't hear his voice. There's a sound to silence. and you're not going to hear the voice. We have His voice in this book. But who wants to read that book every day? Every day. You have the King James Bible. That's God's voice to you. That's God speaking to you. That means you got to shut some things off. That means you got to get some time aside. That's a discipline. I know you don't read your Bible every day because I know how hard it is. And you have to commit to it. And you have to make up your mind you're going to do it and then discipline yourself to do it. And discipline's lacking. There's no quiet. Jesus Christ got some silence. He hung on the cross and He looked up to heaven and He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Nothing. Why? Why do you get all that silence? No answer from heaven. Because He was taking your place. And right now in hell, a sinner cries out, God, I'll do anything if you just get me out of here. And forever, he never hears anything. And Jesus doesn't want you to experience that. So He took your place. God the Father turned His back on Him and refused to answer Him because He saw sin hanging on the cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And the Father refused to answer Him, just like He'll refuse to answer you in hell if you reject what Jesus Christ did for you. You know what Jesus Christ experienced? Silence. He couldn't even get a nod of approval from heaven. And there was a sound to that silence. And you know what it did? Look at Isaiah chapter 50. It drew that man, Jesus, to the Father. Isaiah chapter 50. In verse 5, Jesus Christ speaking here, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. But he's crying out and he's saying, why have you forsaken me? And there's a sound that comes back. It's a sound of silence. And he says, I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to answer. For the Lord God will help me. And that man, we're talking about a man now that took your place. And that man hung on that cross and he got the sound of silence back. You know what it did? In faith, he turned to God. And he had a whole bunch of devils all around him, mocking him, telling him to get down off the cross, and fighting with him. And in verse 8 it says, he says on that cross, he is near that justifieth me. What do you mean he's near, Jesus? He's not answering. Oh, that's all right, he's near. I can hear that sound of silence. He's near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who's mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. You know what he did? He took your place. And those devils came after him and he said, bring it on. He's near. He's going to justify me. He may not be talking, but I can hear the sound of silence. When Jesus Christ took your place. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're lost here this morning, and you refuse that payment and that substitution of Christ, the man, taking your place so you don't have to hear the silence forever in hell. If you reject that, that's what you'll get. And you will feel the eternal forsaking of your Creator. And He will never answer you. Right now, beneath your feet, souls are crying out, I'll do anything to get out of here. I don't care what it takes. Just get me out. Nothing. Forever. And ever. And ever. The silence of Christ still echoes today in Herod's lost soul. And Herod said, hey, I hear that guy can do some fancy stuff and pull some magician's tricks. Come on here, Christ, let me see you do some miracles. I want to see them with my eyes. I heard you. No, no. Your eyes already saw some things. You saw John the Baptist already. Well, come on, why don't you tell me some funny stories? Or I heard many things of you. Let me hear something about you. Nothing. You already heard John preaching. He pointed his finger in his face and told you exactly what you needed to do. You know what Herod got when Christ stood there? Silence. Because he wasn't interested in the truth. Yet his men of war and his soldiers come up and mock Christ and spit in his face and make fun of him. You know what he got? Silence. He got nothing. As a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And now Herod, for the last 2,000 years, has heard nothing but silence. And God doesn't answer as he gnashes his teeth and screams out and grits his teeth. And God doesn't say a thing. God doesn't want that for you. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take that silence for you, to take that punishment for you. Now, you saved here this morning? There's a sound of silence. You need to hear it. The Lord is trying to speak to you, Christian. And the fact that you don't hear something in the midst of your trouble, whatever it is you're going through, doesn't mean he's not there. Jesus Christ said, oh, he's near. I can hear the sound of silence. He's near. You know what's happening right now? The church is falling apart. And the world is gathering steam. It's coming together, aren't they? The nations are all coming together. They're getting ready to bring it all together. And you say, why doesn't God step in? Oh, he is stepping in. You ought to hear it from right here. You ought to get up in the morning and open this up and hear what he has to say. Shut the world off. You know what you'll find out? He's speaking in the United Nations right now. There it is. He said, come on, gather together, guys. Gather the nations together, all in one spot, against my people Israel. And there they are. The whole United Nations making absolutely no sense. God, why don't you step in and stop? Oh, he stepped in. And he's speaking. If you'd listen. But you don't want to shut the noise off. You're much more interested in Yahoo News. You're much more interested in some Hollywood slut. You're much more interested in things that don't matter. So you keep the noise on. And God's already telling you how he's in the United Nations and in everything that's going around. It's already prophesied exactly what's happening. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil. There it is right in front of you. He's speaking. You say, God, I don't see God. Because you won't keep quiet. There's a sound to silence. Hey, anyone reading the Bible isn't surprised by what's going on around them. It's prophesied. It's all in there in the prophets. It's in the New Testament. Paul tells you, we're not going to see revival. We're going to see Christians falling apart, falling away from the truth. Well, God, I don't hear you. Why don't you step in? He's talking. If you'd keep quiet and listen, he's performing what he said he was going to do. There's a sound of silence, and right now that silence that you're hearing is no cause to doubt God. It's a cause to be drawn to him. You know, I've seen some works of Michelangelo in person, and I'm amazed somebody could do that with a block of marble. And even though I may not agree with the idolatry of it, it's amazing the talent to take a chisel and form the figures that he does with that stuff. Imagine if you were to walk up on Michelangelo as he's taking that chisel and you're saying, look at the mess you're making. There's chips all over the place and I don't even see what that, what is that? What do you call that? Just keep quiet. Wait till I'm done. And Christian, the Lord's trying to speak this morning. trying to speak last year, last week, last month, last year, and chipping at you, trying to make something. And you say, what are you doing? Keep quiet. Let silence do its work. He knows what he's doing. There's a sound to silence. I'll bet some of you are deathly afraid of shutting that internet off for a week. I dare you to try it. Oh, but I have it. You're not going to listen. You're not going to listen to the sound of silence. You're afraid. You might have to face off with some things that matter. Paul says we don't look at the temporal things. We look at the things that are eternal. The things which are not seen. The things you can't hear in this world. There's a sound to silence. And then there's a results to silence. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32, and this is going to be one of the reasons you don't want to shut the noise off. Because there's a result to silence, and it's conviction. Psalm 32 and verse 3, David says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David faced off with his sins. The result of silence in David's life is his bones started roaring, and the inside he had to deal with what was wrong with him. And that's why you don't want to turn off the noise. You're going to have to deal with conviction of what you're doing wrong. You ever start thinking of something wrong and that conviction comes in, what do you do with it? Turn up the noise. Get rid of it quick. It's going to bother me. You know, conviction's a great thing. And as soon as you feel that conviction coming in, and as soon as you hear it coming in, Christian, you need to let it do its work. Don't just say, okay, God, you're right. No, keep quiet. It needs to go deeper than just hearing it for a second. You need to keep that silence going for a while and let the Holy Spirit go deeper with it. Because there's more wrong than just that flash of feeling bad. David says it was all day long. It roared. And so I confessed my sins, and he got it right. The longer the silence, the deeper the repentance. People say, boy, a lot of people come to the altar sometimes. Yeah, but they get up way too quick. You come down to an altar and you're up in 30 seconds. Why don't you give it some silence? Why don't you give it some time? Why don't you let some conviction run deep? That'll be one of the results of silence. You ever notice how quickly that old man wants to shut that voice up? Come in and you're wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. All right. No, don't say anything. Don't even cry yet. Just listen. Listen to the results of silence. Look at verse 2. Psalm 39 and verse 2. Yeah, 39. Not 32. 39. In verse 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. Don't say anything. Don't even start telling God anything. Let him work some conviction in that silence. And David said, I was dumb. I started having to face off with some things. You don't have to start praying right away. Keep quiet. Let the silence have a result of real conviction. There's a time right in there where crying isn't even in order. Tears aren't even in order. Just stay still and listen to God. And there will be a great result of silence. Don't start justifying. Don't start arguing with God. Just keep quiet. Be still and listen to that sound of silence and get some result that the Lord desires. You know what he wants to do? He wants to bring you out of it. Repentance feels bad. That guilt feels bad, but he wants to bring you out of it. But first he has to bring you down into it. And that takes some time. It takes some silence. That's a result of silence. Another result of silence is some fellowship that he wants. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. You know, Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, 30 years in silence. But then even during the 3.5 years, that short 3.5 years that he had, he still kept drawn away into more silence. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Zidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. I wonder what he looked like when he didn't answer her. She's crying out, My daughter's grievously vexed. I don't know what that looked like. Did, but I mean, what it looked like, but I know what it did. It drew her to him. You saw, he's awful mean not answer. He drew her right to him. Without whatever he didn't say, you know what she did? She came forward and worshiped him. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You haven't said anything, but that silence drew her into fellowship with him. Closer. By being quiet. I don't know what that expression was, but it sure drew her. And one of the results of silence ought to draw you to God. And that noise isn't going to do it. And that internet isn't going to do it. And that TV isn't going to do it. And that computer isn't going to do it. And that radio isn't going to do it. Why don't you go to work with the radio off? And give some silence in your car. And see if God doesn't draw you to him, into some fellowship with him. One of the results of silence should be this fellowship. Look at Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 5. Amos, chapter 5, and verse 13. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it's an evil time. You know, there's a time to speak up against the evil, and there's a time to just keep quiet. Keep silent and think about what's going on around you. And let the Lord draw you into fellowship with him, away from all that evil, away from all the wickedness. You don't need to know what's going on out there. He wants to draw you into some fellowship. Bible says in Psalm chapter 4, stand in awe. Just stand in awe before God. And look to him in silence and sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed. He says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. The results of silence are, or should be, some fellowship. And lastly, the results of silence is his return. Look at Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Every time I read that, I just stop at the end of that verse and just stop and think, 30 minutes of silence in heaven. That Bible says there's 10,000 times 10,000 angels and thousands of thousands. You know what they're doing? They're singing praises. They're worshiping him. Those 24 elders are throwing their crowns at his feet and they're praising him. And the cherubim around that throne are all praising him. And all that noise comes to a dead silent for 30 minutes. Why? Because the Lamb just stood up and he's ready to come back. How do you know that? Because he said the seventh seal was opened. And in the tribulation, for the sake of time, I can't go through it each, but in tribulation, you have four separate accounts of that 3.5 year period. And one of them's through seals. And you know what happens when he opens the seventh seal? He comes back. You know what happens when the seventh trumpet comes, blows? He comes back. You know what happens when the seventh vial is poured out? He comes back. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. There's your trumpet, seventh trumpet going off. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When that seventh trumpet go off, that's the end of the tribulation. When that seventh seal is opened, silence. He's coming back. Look at Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16 and verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. In Revelation chapter 8, when that seventh seal is opened, it says there's silence in heaven. All the praises of the angels and the cherubim and all the hosts of heaven, all the saints that just praise that Lamb are all quiet because he's coming back. You know, back in the history of mankind, there's all been all kinds of declarations made and heaven didn't stop for a second. Back in the early 1900s, a declaration of World War I starting in Europe and heaven didn't even miss a beat. No one kept quiet for that. 1939 and there, World War II, and heaven didn't notice. You get a promotion at work, heaven doesn't keep quiet. 1917, an influenza goes through, rages through all of Europe and America, and millions of people die, and heaven's not quiet. Trump makes some announcement this week. Heaven's not making a peep about it. They don't even pay attention to it. I don't know what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ, the darling of God, got up and took his robes of glory off and put on a robe of sinful flesh and came down to a manger to be born among cattle. I don't know that there was silence then. But I know there's silence when he comes back to take what's his. He didn't deserve a manger. He didn't deserve a robe of likeness of sinful flesh. But when he gets what's coming to him, the glory and praise of all the world and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, heaven's going to take notice of that. And they're going to keep silence. In Revelation chapter 8, heaven stops and gives silence for 30 minutes. Look at his face. Let's see how he's going to do this. And you and I are going to be there. We get caught up to see, to go through our judgment, and we're going to be behind him. And we're going to look at his face, and we're not going to say a thing. All of heaven's going to keep quiet for 30 minutes. And he's going to say, let's go. Maybe then we'll start whooping. But he's been keeping quiet for a couple thousand years now. But he's about to take what's his. And heaven's interested in that day. Right now, the world could care less. You know what they're doing? They're just making noise. Distraction. All it is distraction. None of it matters. You're consumed with distractions. And the last thing the world wants is what they need. They need Jesus Christ. And you know the world is messed up by who they take in his place. Just any bum that comes along, any filthy slob that comes along, they'll take him. They'll take Castro. They'll take anyone but Jesus Christ. And while the earth is completely distracted, our God's coming. Our Savior's coming. And they're not going to be silent long enough to hear it, but he's going to thunder in that day. And they're going to have to stop then. Jesus Christ, the darling of heaven, who's worthy of riches and power and honor and glory and blessing, is going to take it to himself. He's not coming back asking anybody anything. He's going to take what's rightfully his. And I sure hope you're on the right side, because it'll be too late in that day. Now's your day. Today is the accepted time. Now's the time of salvation. Today's the day. He offers it. And the question for you for all eternity will be, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. And one day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? The Bible tells you what he's going to do. Against his will, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I didn't prepare it for you. I prepared it for the devil and his angels, but you wouldn't have me. Now go, and you'll hear silence then. Imagine the silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Now how deafening that silence is going to be. And all of heaven is going to shout. And that vault of heaven is going to ring when Jesus Christ comes back to take what's his. And this world's going to cower and hide in the dens and the caves and the rocks and the mountains. And say, hide us from the wrath of that Lamb that's coming. And he's going to make a noise then. And he's going to take this world over. What have you done with Jesus Christ? See, we're not talking about joining a church. We're not talking about turning over a new leaf and quitting this or quitting that. What have you done with Jesus Christ? If he opened his arms up and let him be nailed to a cross to save your soul. To give you, to pay what you couldn't pay. And that's what God the Father accepts. And it's the only thing he'll accept is the blood of Jesus Christ in your place. What have you done with it? What have you done with that blood? Because one day you're going to stand before God and you will not get into his heaven without that blood. The Bible says eternal life's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No church can save you. No pastor can save you. No preacher, no pope, no priest, no sacraments. None of that saves. Only Jesus saves. Will you be silent long enough to hear it? Christian, will you be silent this week? Enough to have some results of silence take place in your life? Will you let the sound of silence come into your life so you can hear God speak and see his hand in your life? You know, I got to give a lot of credit to the devil. He knows what he's doing. He has got Christians so caught up in nothing. I mean nothing. That you have Christians concerned with themselves and what they're doing, and a whole generation is being raised on an internet that's full of you and what you're doing and how important you are. And you really, in your mind, think it's important. Noise. No silence. Scared stiff of silence like a cockroach is scared of light. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to wake you up. Amen. You need to think. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed and eyes closed and just some silence. I know we can't get total silence because people are going to shift and they'll be coughing and all kinds of noise. But let there be silence in your heart for a minute. And look over where you stand with God. Where is your heart with God this morning? Can you point to a time somewhere in your life where you know you pass from death to life? You know that you have eternal life right now. One of the most shocking things to me as a lost sinner was that you could know that you have eternal life. I didn't know the Bible said that. I thought you had to do certain things and you'll find out one day at the judgment. That's damnation. That's not salvation. If you're waiting to find out if you're good enough, you're damned. You need to know that you have eternal life. And the Bible says you can know. Would you examine your heart here this morning? In silence? Would you, right where you sit, be willing to admit your condition without Jesus Christ? That's the hardest part of getting saved, would be admit that you need Him. And if you're here this morning with us and you don't know for sure, let me ask you, friend, do you know what will happen to you when you die? And if you're not sure, before I close in prayer, would you slip your hand up? And by slipping your hand up, I don't want you to say anything out loud. No one's going to come to you. And I'm not going to come to you. By slipping your hand up, you're admitting you need to be saved. Just slip it up and back down, anyone. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? That's a great admission. I'm lost. I need Christ. I'll tell you this, I can promise you this from His Word. If you call out to Him and what He did for you on Calvary, He will save you. You put your trust in Him right where you sit, and He'll save you. If you have any questions, the pastor of this church here, he's going to take over right now. He'd love to take a minute with you after this is over. No, nobody wants to embarrass you, and I'm not going to tell him who raised their hands. But if you want to know about it, you come see Him after this invitation. Father, would you please help us to have some silence in our life? Help your people to shut off the distractions, the noise, and be still and hear from you. And Lord, I pray especially for these two that raise their hand. Please let them know your love at Calvary. Let them know your salvation as a free gift. And let them know going out of here today, there's nothing more important that they settle than their eternity. And I pray they do something about it and make that move before it's everlasting too late. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.